I'll be reading from 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 4 through 9. 1 Kings 9, 4 through 9. However, you must serve me as your father David did. He had an honest heart, and he was a good man. You must obey all of my laws and do everything I command you. If you do these things, then I will ensure that the throne of your kingdom will rule Israel forever. I made that promise to your father David. I told him that there would always be a male from his family to rule over Israel. However, you and your sons must always follow me. You must obey the laws and commands which I have given to you. You must not go off to serve different gods and worship them. If you abandon me, then I will force Israel to leave the land which I have given to them. Though I have made the temple holy for people for my sake of my name, if you will not obey me, I will turn away my face. Then Israel will become a proverb and a joke among all the nations. If this magnificent temple is totally destroyed, then everyone who sees that will be shocked. They will make fun of you and ask, "Why did Yahweh do this? Why did he do this terrible thing to this land and to this temple?" Other people will answer, "This happened because they abandoned Yahweh their God. He brought their ancestors out of the land of Egypt, but they decided to follow different gods. They worshipped and served them instead. That is why Yahweh has brought this whole disaster upon them."
Evening, brethren.
Evening.
Solomon had everything, didn't he? He had absolutely everything that you could ever want in this life. But everything didn't save him spiritually. All the possessions that he had, all the wealth, all the things that he had, all the wisdom that he had, earthly wisdom, you might say, none of that saved him spiritually. Everything that God gave him, all the blessings, he was blessed in every way possible on earth. He even got to speak to God. He got so many good things, so many blessings, physical and spiritual, and yet he still fell away from God, nonetheless. So you see, it doesn't matter how much that one has in this life. It doesn't matter how much we might possess as far as physical possessions. Maybe we start a business. Maybe we start a whole franchise. Maybe that's all something that we started. Maybe we have all of this income every year, and we get mansions out of it, and we get everything we could ever want, and we give that to our children and to their children, and we accumulate so much wealth. What is that all in the end spiritually? It's nothing spiritually. Solomon learned that, and we should as well. The lesson tonight is not to determine whether or not Solomon is the writer of Ecclesiastes, but we certainly must keep that within context. If Solomon is the writer of Ecclesiastes, then we know that Solomon maybe even repented of his sins, and he may be in paradise right now. We don't know for sure. That's always been a debate among Bible scholars, among the brethren. But Solomon still, at this time, in this place, in this occasion, whenever he had had everything, he still fell into sin, regardless of all the blessings that God gave, regardless of the closeness that God was with Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 10, let's read it together. In 1 Kings chapter 10, at first in chapter 9, we just saw a warning to Solomon, didn't we? We saw a warning that if Solomon didn't continue in the commandments that were given to them, that were given to David, that were given to Solomon, then they would, of course, lose everything. They would be punished. Now read with me in chapter 10, starting in verse 14. We're going to talk about the physical blessings that God gave Solomon. Chapter 10, verse 14. The weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. Besides that, from the traveling merchants, from the income of traders, from all the kings of Arabia, the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of gold went into each shield. He also made 300 shields of hammered gold. 3 minas of gold went into each shield. The king put them into the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had 6 steps, at the top of the throne was round at the back. There were armrests on either side of the place of the seat, and two lions stood beside the armrests. Verse 20. 12 lions stood there, one on each side of the 6 steps. Nothing like this had been made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Not one was silver, for this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. For the king had merchant ships at sea with a fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years the merchant ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of earth in riches and wisdom. Verse 24, now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And if you keep reading there, you're going to see more gold, more silver, chariots, horsemen, all types of armies. God blessed Solomon with so many things, with everything that you could possibly want in this life. God blessed Solomon with it. Everything. All the armies, all of the power that you could accumulate, all of the wealth. It's predicted that Solomon's wealth back in his day and time, as far as U.S. dollars today, was around 40 billion U.S. dollars monthly. 40 billion U.S. dollars monthly. There's only a few men around like that today, maybe a few women around like that today who accumulate that much money. Well, actually, it was yearly, rather. But as far as a total income, some even predict Solomon's income to be in the trillions. To be in the trillion, well, not his income, but his total net worth. To be in the trillions. I mean, do you know how much money that is? How much wealth that is? Can you imagine what you could do with that kind of wealth? I mean, there's no end to what you could do with that kind of money, with that kind of wealth. And Solomon was blessed with that innumerable amount of gold. Just insane amount of gold. God gave all of that to Solomon. That was all because of God. Let's read 1 Kings chapter 10 and verses 1 through 6. Solomon wasn't just blessed with wealth, but he was also blessed with something else. Verses 1 through 6. We know the Queen of Sheba accounts. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, chapter 10, verse 1, she came to test him with hard questions. Verse 2. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, with very much gold, precious stones, and when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. When the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, the entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, that's the temple, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. And then she'll go on saying she didn't believe it, and then she saw it with her own eyes. And she was amazed, really. But the Queen of Sheba, she even sees here and accounts that Solomon had wisdom that was so amazing. Where did he get that wisdom? From God. He got the riches, he got the wisdom, he got the power, the glory. All of that was because of God. All of that was because of what God gave him. Some people say that Solomon really was the richest man that ever lived, was the richest person that ever lived, and that he was the wisest, certainly, and also may have even been the richest person that ever lived, as far as up to our point in time. But he had all these physical blessings, all these physical things. Go back to 1 Kings 4. 1 Kings 4. 1 Kings 4 in verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart, like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezrahites, Heman, Calcol, Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs and his songs were 1,005. And also he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even of the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, of fish. And men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. He knows everything, man. Solomon knows all of it. He knows the details about every animal. He knows the details about all types of insects, all types of plant life. He knows everything that there is to know about all of this stuff. So he's got all of the earthly wisdom. You think about all the biologists today, all of the marine biologists today. Solomon, he knows it all already. How? Because God just gave it to him, like that. He just gave it to him. So that's awesome. And all these people are coming to Solomon. They're wanting to all this wisdom from him. And if we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 11 through 12, see a little more on this. 2 Chronicles 1, Then God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like." God gave all of this to Solomon. Once again, all these blessings are because of God. And this was because Solomon at first was humble. At first he was righteous in his heart. He was humble, and so God gave all of this to him. He blessed Solomon, King Solomon, with all of this. And of course, all of that was fulfilled. We saw all the account we just read there. He had all the gold. He had all the armies, everything he could ever want. And then of course, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. He had all of this, and it doesn't end there. Read some other accounts with me. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29, 23 through 25. 1 Chronicles 29, 23 through 25. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. All the leaders and the mighty men, and also all the sons of the king of David, submitted themselves to King Solomon. I'm reading the right passage. Yes, I'm reading the right passage. So the Lord exalted Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed on him such as royal majesty had not been seen on any king before him in Israel. So, first of all, Solomon was the king of what? If he didn't have all the wealth and everything else, he's the king of what nation? He's the king of God's people. The king of God's people. He's like the spiritual leader of God's people. The priests also were, but as a king of God's people. He also would have set an example as a king, to be a leader to God's people spiritually. He was to be that for them. So what an awesome thing that he was even able to lead God's nation of Israel back in that time. What an awesome thing and awesome privilege given to Solomon, a blessing to Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. We'll read that now. 2 Chronicles 3, 1. Now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David at the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. What also did he get to build? Solomon got to build the temple of God. How awesome would it be to build the temple of God, to have all of this wealth and all of these possessions, and now you're getting to build the dwelling place of God on earth. The manifestation where God would be. The temple, housing that. So awesome. Solomon gets to build that now. David preparing that all beforehand, and Solomon is getting to build it. And as well, we know that God even blessed Solomon in appearing to him. He appeared to Solomon in different ways. If we read 1 Kings 3, 5. 1 Kings 3, 5. And I'm sorry to keep going back and forth, but these first kings and these kings in a Chronicles account, they give you more details based on the accounts. So 1 Kings rather, chapter 3 and verse 5. See the problem there? 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. Kings 3, 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Do you notice what just happened there? Solomon got to have God in some way of manifestation. He got to actually meet with God, to talk to God. Now don't misunderstand, no man has seen the face of God, the actual face as far as taking on His full glory. But Solomon was able to see a manifestation of God here and talk to Him directly. That is so awesome. That's so neat. If we look at another account in chapter 9 and verse 2, right nearby, 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 2. That the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as He appeared to him at Gibeon. That first one we just read was the appearance at Gibeon. The second time, he appeared to Solomon again. So God appeared to Solomon two times. And he had, if all the blessings weren't enough, he also got to really speak with God. He got what a prophet is able to do, to speak to God, to get words from God directly. Solomon got that too. Physical blessings, spiritual blessings. Solomon had it all, man. He had all of it. All of it. Everything that we might pray for today as far as prosperity, maybe physically and spiritually, Solomon had it. Even spiritually, he was going to go to paradise in the end because he was living righteously. But then, what do we see happen as we continue in chapter 11? What do we see happen? All of that falls. All of it. In one chapter, friends. Friends, in one chapter, all of that falls. All of that prosperity, all of those riches, all the wealth, all of everything, the power that Solomon had, falls. How terrible is that? And what is it because of? We'll see. 1 Kings 11, 1 through 8. Read it with me. First Kings 11:1-8. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord has said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. Verse 3, chapter 11, 1 Kings. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. So, before we continue reading there, Solomon went after many women at one time, foreign women. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 3, Deuteronomy 7 and verse 3, we're going to see where God warns about this beforehand. Deuteronomy 7, 3, it's warned if Solomon did this, what would happen? Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 3. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. And before we continue on in that text too, there was a warning. There was a warning given to Solomon. Did he heed it? No, he didn't heed it here. He went all in. All in. He took every wife that he could of every foreign nation. Every single wife that he could. Every concubine that he could. Did you hear the number there? 700 wives and 300 concubines? I mean, what in the world, man? What in the world? Solomon, what are you doing? But with all these blessings that he has, Solomon falls. And he has all these women. They turn his heart away to other gods. You think he doesn't know this? You think he doesn't know that they're going to turn his heart away as the king of Israel, as a spiritual leader of the people with all his wisdom? You think he doesn't know what's going to happen? Of course he knows. But he rather chooses to do sin no matter what here. That's his choice. That's how he chooses to behave. So Solomon is going to fall here. Read 1 Kings. Let's rather read Matthew 6. Let's get a New Testament verse. Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 through 29. And we'll come back to this. Put a marker. Matthew 6, 28 and 29. We've used this verse a couple times, these verses, but they're good application here. Matthew 6, 28 and 29. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What is the comparison there? The comparison is the glory of Solomon to the glory of the creation of God. That's the comparison. And what was Solomon to the glory of the creation of God? Like a lily of the field is used to describe all that God created. What is Solomon to that? This. He's this. Right here. You can't even see him. He's that small. That's what Solomon is. That's what we are. We're that small compared to all God's glory. So, what is Solomon? What is Solomon compared to all of God's glory. Of course, the message and the lesson, the application that we're trying to take from here is that all the blessings that God can give us physically, all these blessings that Solomon had, it doesn't really make up for anything if we don't have our heart right. If we don't have our heart in the right place, in the right direction, none of it does anything. All the physical possessions, they don't do anything. We need to have our minds and our focus and our choice focused on God to follow His will. That's our decision to make. No one else can make that decision for us. Solomon had that choice as well. Even with all his blessings, his possessions, though, he chose not to follow God at this time. He chose it at first, and he chose it for a while, but then he chose not to. He chose rather to go in the path of darkness with Satan, with all those who choose darkness, with the many, rather than the few who choose righteousness. Nehemiah 13:26. Since we have time, Nehemiah 13:26. Nehemiah 13. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him, who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused even him to sin. This is Nehemiah in the time of the Restoration, referring to Solomon. Everyone knew about King Solomon. They knew Solomon's fall, how Solomon chose all of these women, these pagan women, and all of idolatry over God himself. This man had seen God. This man had seen manifestations of God, talked to God, and nonetheless, he turns away from God. You talk about ignorance, that's ignorance right there. Pure ignorance. The man had seen God in a manifestation, and he turns away from Him. So, temptation, can it affect all of us no matter what? Yeah, it can affect all of us. No matter what we have, no matter how much glory or power or how strong we think we are, temptation is a very powerful thing that can get any of us. Depending on how weak we are, depending on how we let it, temptation can lead us to sin. No matter what stature we are in life, it's always a danger. Sin is always trying to eat you up, is always trying to get you. It's prey is always you as a Christian, is always me as a Christian, it's always us. So we have to watch out as Solomon needed to watch out here. Deuteronomy 7:4-5 was that whole account that we read earlier. And we won't go back and read it. But God warned about it back in Deuteronomy, what would happen. He warned about these women who would turn his heart away to other gods, to foreign gods. And nonetheless, Solomon still did it. And we just read that here. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. And we know about James 3:17, and I'll let you read that one later in your own time. But it talks about how we should focus on the wisdom that is above rather than the wisdom that is on this earth. Solomon maybe have been able to speak about everything on earth and all the animals and all the creeping things and everything. But what did he have concerning spiritual wisdom if he just fell away here? He didn't have anything, did he? He had nothing. He had nothing because he just fell. So all of that wisdom, all those PhDs that Solomon had, what was it? It was nothing. And he died. And really, after this text here, do you see any more about Solomon in the Bible as far as his accounts? If Ecclesiastes is not his, as far as just him as a king, do we see any more accounts of him? As like lists of the kings of Israel? No, we don't. We don't see it. Why is that? Because of sin, because of his choices. Every one of the wicked kings, they have sections of text that are this big. All of the righteous kings have sections of text that are this big. You notice that in Scripture? That's how Solomon's was too. It was this big, and then it went this big. Why? What was there in between? Sin. Sin was there in between. That's what caused that to happen. The cutoff from God. That was the cutoff. So yeah, an idea that we need to take an application for ourselves as well. 1 Kings 11, let's turn there. I told you 10, but 11. Chapter 11, one chapter over. Read a few more things and we'll finish up. 1 Kings 11:9-10. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. So God's anger now is against Solomon's sins. We see God angry at him. We see God reminding Solomon of a few things here. He's reaffirming, God is, that he blessed Solomon in all of these ways. He blessed Solomon in all that he gave him. He warned Solomon about sin and temptation. And he appeared to him twice. Not once, but twice to Solomon. To speak to him. To talk to him directly. Solomon got that privilege with God Almighty. And nonetheless, he still turned his heart away from God. He completely turned from God. Here's the difference between David and Solomon. Whenever Solomon sinned, did he repent? Do you see it in the account? No, he didn't. When you see David sin, does he repent? Really, every time. Yes, he always does. And that's why his text continues. It always continues, page after page, about David. Because, and he's in the faithful accounts, and even in the New Testament, because he remained faithful. Because he repented every time whenever he sinned. The thing with Bathsheba, he repented of it. All those different times, whenever he didn't do the census thing right, he repented of it. All those different times he repented. Solomon, though, if you continue reading in his little section of text left, it says really that he's just trying to kill someone, and that's really all you read about Solomon left. And then he died, and the next person took his place. Isn't that sad? That's pretty sad to go from all that glory to nothing. All that to nothing. And what was in between? Sin was in between. Death. Sin. Really interchangeable words. Death is sin, and sin is death, spiritually. So God's anger against Solomon sins here. Let's read 11 through 14. 1 Kings 11, 11 through 14. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days. For the sake of your father David, I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son, for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. What tribe is that? Judah. It's the tribe of Judah. Verse 14. Now the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon, Hadad the Edomite, who was a descendant of the king in Edom. Here we go. Solomon, your time's up. He's raising up an adversary. That's not good. When God raises up adversaries, and if there's actually someone to be able to put up a fight against Solomon now, with all of Solomon's glory, and now somebody can take him down, that's not good. That means Solomon is going to be taken down. If somebody can actually fight him, he's done. His reign is over because of sin, because of his choices. So he's going to lose everything because of his sin. You're going to see a lot of silence from this point on about Solomon. Even in the New Testament, there's not as much said about Solomon as there is David. Because he chose this sin here, and because he really likely stayed with that sin for a long period of time. If Ecclesiastes is his repentance, if that's really the book and a period of time whenever Solomon was repenting of everything he'd done in his former life, then that's really his repentance. That's the most that we know as far as what's left about Solomon. It is sad. It's a sad account of Solomon's end of his life, really. And in these books of the Kings and the Chronicles here, and what happens at the end of his life, but, I mean, that's just his choices. And that's the choices that any one of our friends and family members can make. Any one of us can make those same choices. And we can lose our place in the book of life, can't we? We can lose our place. So that's our choice. That's our decision to make. The question is, what decisions will we make? So, the lesson is yours this evening. I have a few more scriptures, but we won't go and read them. I'll leave them to you to read. If you're marking them down, Matthew 6:19-21, of course, talking about where your treasure should be. It should obviously be in heaven, not on things of this earth. And then we've read there in James 3:17. You could take 13-18. And as well, 1 Peter 1:3-5. That's another text you could have. True riches are the riches awaiting the faithful to God after this life. There's where the riches lie. That's what we should be concerned about and looking forward to and trying to get to. Not things and riches of this life and building up our businesses so much in this life that we forget God, our wealth and all that. But focus on spiritual things, spiritual wisdom, riches of God. lesson is yours. If you have any need tonight, Christians, please do come to the front as we're about to stand and sing and praise God together. Physical, mental, spiritual need, whatever it may be, prayers for a family member, yourself, please do let us help you this evening. Let us pray with you. All those here tonight are Christians, so remember our plan of salvation that we need to always keep in mind day after day. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and remain faithful unto death, and you receive the crown of life. Whether Solomon got it or not, we don't know. We don't know that for sure. So, you get it. Even though Solomon chose not to, you can choose to, like David chose to. Even though his son Solomon didn't, you can choose to get the crown of life in the end. Even though most of the world chooses not to. The lesson is yours. If you have any need, come to the front as we stand and as we sing.